So we're on a series, and the series is called His Will. And the reason is because there's a stirring inside of me that we as believers have to live with a sense of clarity and conviction about what God is doing, what He's doing in the world and what He's doing in our life. And yet I run into so many people, and the will of God seems kind of blurry, like that picture up there, and folks are wishy-washy and not exactly sure what God's will is. And we'll tack things on to the end of a prayer. You ever pray this? Lord, if it's your will, right? Lord, if it's your will. Now, that's good if He hasn't explained what His will is. But do you know, a lot of times we ask for God's will to be done. We say, if it's your will, and He's already specified in His word what His will is. Did you know that? That there are times that we act oblivious to the fact that He's already told us what His will is in the Word. We just haven't checked. And so, more than ever, it is important that we live with a sense of clarity and a sense of conviction, that we pray with clarity and with conviction, and that we know the will of God. So here's what I want to do. I want to take you through these phases of a Christian. I want to start out even before you're saved and take you up through what a mature believer looks like and how the will of God is known. And so let me start here with the unbeliever. The unbeliever has a very difficult time understanding the will of God because our mind is warring against the mind of God. That's what it says in Romans. It's because we have two different natures. God has a nature that is, He sees things perfectly clear. The message that I shared last week was that unless we see it the way God sees it, we're not clear. And an unbeliever can't see it the way God sees it because their spirit has not been renewed. And so you'll watch an unbeliever, they'll read the Word and they can't understand it. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God that makes the Word of God come alive. They don't understand the mind of Christ. They're like, I don't understand God. And it's like, of course you don't, because your mind has not yet been renewed. Your spirit has not been renewed. And so your thoughts and your agenda is often waging war against the mind and the agenda of God. That's where we start. But then when we receive Christ, things begin to change. That's why if you're not saved, and let's go and get that right today before you leave, okay? Can I just go and tell you that? Let's just go and get that right before you leave today, all right? Because that's not the end of the story. Salvation is the beginning of the story. Now you are positioned that you might know the will of God for your life. And that's the first thing that I want to bring up. He wants you to know His will. Did you hear that? Say, He wants me to know His will. There are so many people out there, Christians, that think that somehow God is, they see it in an adversarial relationship as though God is hiding Himself from you, that He's hiding His will from you. And I want to tell you that it is God eagerly desires to share His will with you. I like that word, eagerly. I've been using that a lot. I'll just walk up to people, I'm like, God eagerly wants you to know His plans for you. He's eager for you to know it. Now, how do I know that? Well, Colossians 1:9. I'm going to read about three verses of Scripture. And so if you got a device or a Bible, I want you to turn Colossians 1:9. And I want to walk you through this thing to express to you that He wants you to know His will. So Colossians 1:9, it says, Paul is sharing this prayer, and he says, "We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will." You hear that? He's praying that the people at that church will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, if you want to know some of the benefits of knowing His will, just keep reading on down. It says, so that you can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, so that you can please Him, so that you can bear fruit, so that you'll increase in the knowledge of God, so that you'll be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that you'll be steadfast and patient and joyful, so that who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. That's good stuff. Did you just read that? All of that is good, okay? And that's why Paul says, I pray that you might know the will of God. God wants us to know His will. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Many people memorize this verse, and I think there's a good reason for it. Listen to Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, Oh, I got to stop there for just a minute. Many people want to know the will of God because they're scared of the wrath of God. And that's unfortunate, because here it says that I urge you because of the mercies of God, for the grace of God, for all the good things that He's done, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Why? Not because we're afraid of the wrath of God, but because of His great mercy on us. It says that you present your body as a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be, listen to this, conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you may prove what the will of God is. So if you're asking, how in the world do I know the will of God? It is summed up in that verse for you, that your mind is transformed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit makes the Word come alive so that we might know His will. And then some of you will say, well, Kevin, why is it that it seems so difficult sometimes to know the will of God? Listen to this. It's Proverbs 25:2. Proverbs 25:2 says this, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search out a matter." Now that's a strange verse. Listen to it again. "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out." And so here's what it says. God sometimes hides things. I think this is maybe Banning Lipster that has said this. He said, God doesn't hide things from you. He hides things for you. Now I talked to Brantley probably a week or so ago, and we were talking about this, and I said, what are some things that a parent will intentionally hide from a child just in order to make sure that that thing turns out good in the end? And she said, well, what about Christmas? I was like, oh, yeah, that's good. Because parents, what do you do on Christmas? You want your kids to have a good Christmas. You want them to be surprised. You want to have something nice for them, maybe. And so what do? You go out and buy things, and you don't set them in the middle of the living room floor, right, in October. No, what do? You hide it from them, right? And so you've got a little place in the closet somewhere. Some of you older kids, well, anyway, I just better not get too far. Okay. And so you hide things from the kids. Why? Because there's a designated time in which you intend to reveal that thing, and you want it to be good. You want the anticipation to build. You want them to be excited. You know that if you give it to them in November, then on December the 25th, they're going to want something else, right? So it's like, let's hold it until the right time. And so we hold it and we wrap it, and they get excited. I think it's Banning that says, in Hide and Go Seek, he said it's like this, that the goal of a child when he hides is to make sure the parent never finds them. But as the parent, what's your goal? It's your goal to hide, but just enough so that they can find you, because you don't want to frustrate the kids, right? And so what does a dad do when you're hiding? Banning, he says, a parent hides behind a tree and he goes, why? Just to make sure the kid knows, all right, where daddy is. All right, you don't want to frustrate him and completely hide. You know, so dad gets behind a tree or a rock or the corner of the house, and he goes, right? You know, and then the kid goes, oh, daddy! You know, why? Because it's the excitement of the game, right? And it's the relationships that you build that the kid says, you know what? I love to play with my dad. I love to play with my mom. And so it's a relational thing. And that's what it says here, is that there are times it seems like God is concealing things from you, but what He wants to do is He wants you to search those things out, because they'll mean more to you in the end. Another thing, He desires for us to search out His will. That might be point two. So let's look at that. That we have to make it our desire to know His will. Say that. Make sure you got it in. All right. Make it your desire to know His will. All right. Now here's the thing. Brantley and I were talking about this. You ever notice that I have to get feedback from Brantley a lot of times? So we rehearse things. And so I'm like, check this out, Brantley. I said, you know, I've never, and I'm not picking on Caden because I think he's... yeah, you're listening now, aren't you? That's my son, by the way. I said, have any of your kids ever walked up to you and said, Mom and Dad, I see your bed made up and it just looks so beautiful. Could you teach me how to make a bed every day? Have any of you have a child like that? Okay, then Caden, you're normal. Never happened. He never walked up and said, you know what, I think your bed looks amazing. Could you show me how to do that? You know, at 5 years old, Caden never walked up to me and said, you know what, I think it's amazing that you can read and write and all those things. Would you mind putting me through about 15 to 20 years worth of education so that I might read and do math just like you? No, we make our kids do stuff, right? You will make up the bed. You will pick up the trash. You will have chores. See, Caden, it's not just you, buddy. We all do it, okay? The whole world, parents submit their kids to that kind of thing. We don't care if you want to or not. It's our will, and we'll impose it on you when we want to. We're mom and dad. Do you know we think God does that and He doesn't? Think about that just for a minute. We really would prefer that God do that way, that He would impose His will upon us. Do you know He won't? He almost never imposes His will. He waits for us to seek His will. And it says that if you seek me and you seek me with a whole heart, you will find me. And so one of the keys to knowing the will of God is that you have to seek it, because if you don't, He just waits. It's like He won't give Himself to you in that area until you want it. I think that makes us responsible for it. And so we have to desire to know His will. I want to read you from some of my dogs. What are dogs? You're going to appreciate this, Kim. People around here that have been with me for a long time, they know that I love to read dead people, okay? I just think that if people still want to read your book after you're dead, that you did something important, okay? And so you should, in fact, one of the guys that I just love to read from, he was actually alive, and I would brag on it. Do you know about a year ago he died? So those are my dogs, my dead old guys. I heard that from Lecrae. I didn't make that up. So here's one of my dogs, G. Campbell Morgan. He said this, "Wherever there are hearts waiting for the voice of God, the voice of God will be heard." Wherever there are people who are waiting on the voice of God, you're going to have to want it. You're going to have to desire His will. And if you do, the will of God, the voice of God will be heard. And then I think it's Andrew Murray, great man of prayer. He writes this. He says, when you go and you're ready to pray for something and you want to know the will of God, one of the hardest things and one of the first things you're going to have to do is you're going to have to surrender your will. What do I mean by that? You're going to have to go to God and say, God, I'll take it however you want to give it to me. Okay? I'll go if you'll say go. I'll stay if you say stay. I'll speak if you say speak, but I'll be quiet if you tell me to be quiet. I just want what you want, God. And so I surrender my will to you. I want your will. That takes us back to a prayer when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. He said, pray like this. And part of it is, your kingdom come, what? Your will be done. That's the first thing we have to get right when we begin to pray, is that we've surrendered our will and our agenda. Because we got some agendas, right? You ever gone to God and you had an agenda and you were trying to talk Him into it? Yeah, me too. And it gets foggy right there. You ever notice that? That's where it gets foggy, because I got an agenda and I'm trying to talk God into my agenda. And He just gets quiet until I get to the place where I'm like, you know what? My agenda? God, what's your agenda? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We position ourselves to know the will of God, and now we begin to move. So there are times where I might ask you to say this. You'd ask yourself this. What is my agenda? And have I surrendered it? And will I do whatever God wants me to do? You have perfectly positioned yourself at that point. And then, it's not just about knowing and desiring His will. It's about knowing and desiring Him. I thought it was kind of funny that Amy talked about marriage with Chris, because here's how I want to bring this point out, okay? Not only do we need to know His will, but we need a desire for Him. So let me take you back about 24 years ago. Oh my Lord, that's like a quarter of a century. There was this little girl that I knew, and I wanted to get to know her. That's my wife, all right? It's hard to believe that we've been at this for almost 25 years now. That's a long time for you putting up with me. Yes. Yes, you know, don't you? Yes. So 24, almost 25. We've been married for 18. We dated forever. That's what happens when you date when you're in high school. You have to wait until you can get a job. And so we had to graduate college and all that kind of stuff. And so, but I met this little girl, and I wanted to get to know her. And I knew that we had a mutual friend, a girl that was playing in a Powder Puff football game. All right? Anybody know what that is? Okay, I don't really know what that is, because you know what? I could care less about that Powder Puff game. I could care less. I'm like, you can get out there and do whatever you want to. I just need a good reason to get her along with me so I can get to know her. And so they had told me, they had warned me about her father. They said, boy, he's a tough guy. If I knew him then like I knew him now, I would have prepared a little better, you know. But they said, you better ask permission, because if you don't ask permission, I'm like, she's in high school. She's older than me. My friend said, you should ask. I'm like, okay, I'll ask. You know, he let me. And so I took her to the Powder Puff football game. And I don't even know what a Powder Puff football game. I think it's where girls play football. Oh, and the guys are cheerleaders. Okay, I could care less. I just wanted to get to know her. You know? And you know, we went and played putt-putt. Neither one of us cared a thing about putt-putt. You know? Why did we do those things? Because we wanted to get to know each other. And as I got to know her, I found out that I loved her. And then as I loved her, I still wanted to get to know her more. Now, where am I going with that? If you ever called me up and said, hey, you know, I've called Brantley and I'm going to invite her out to lunch today, where's a good place to take her? I don't know. If you suggest that you're going to take her to a Thai restaurant, I would recommend you pick a little something different. Because that's not in her will. Okay? She has no will for Thai. I don't know why. I've tried to talk her into it. She doesn't like Thai. If you said, I'm getting ready to get Brantley something, you know, for whatever, I know what she likes. Now, there may be a couple of occasions where I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I'll have to go ask her. But I know her so well after 25 years that I hardly have to think about what her will is. You know? Do you see where I just went with that? You see, a lot of times we have a difficult time understanding the will of God because we misunderstood what was supposed to happen. You're supposed to fall in love with Him and get to know Him. And as you get to know Him, you'll understand His will. You see, we've tried to treat Him like gravity, like a force that somehow you work with and work against to get what you want. And He is not a force. He is a person. And if you want to know the will of God, you get to know the person, you will know the will of God. That was good. Amen, Kevin. Sometimes I have to amen myself because y'all apparently a bunch of... Sometimes it's tough. I'm going to train up people in amens. I preach better. That's why I have to amen myself sometimes. Okay. All right, so we've progressed, okay? We went from our mind being at war with God to now wanting to know what His will is and saying, God, what is Your will? Till we've moved beyond to where it's like, you know what? We just love You and we want to spend time with You. And, you know what? As we do that, I'm understanding Your will. I know what You want, what You like and what You don't like and how You move and how You do things. So we're progressing a little bit further to this one. We have to get to a place where we trust God's ability to lead us more than our ability to follow. Did you hear that? We have to trust God's ability to lead us more than our ability to follow. One of my favorite verses, chapters in the Bible is Psalms 23. And what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. You see, whose responsibility is it to lead? The shepherd or the sheep? It's the shepherd's responsibility to lead. And the good shepherd will lead his sheep. And so at some point, as you've given your life to God, and as you're seeking His will, and as you're getting to know Him, at some point you're going to have faith in the good shepherd that He's leading you. And so there's times where it gets a little difficult and you're like, I don't understand what God's doing right now. He's kind of quiet. Maybe you need to rest. You know, the shepherd knows when he's getting ready to move the sheep and when they've got a strenuous journey ahead of him. And that's where he puts them in those green pastures and he lets them rest. Why? Because he knows the sheep. And he knows you need to rest right now because you have a difficult journey ahead of you. There have been times where God has made me rest. I haven't heard much. I haven't heard a new assignment. And I'm wondering, okay, God, you're not talking. What's going on? And sometimes it is, Kevin, I just need you to rest. Sometimes the good shepherd knows that he's got to intersect my life with some provision that's coming this way. And sometimes I don't know how fast to walk or run. You know, and so sometimes he slows me so that I can intersect this provision that's coming at just the right time. Sometimes I'm a little slow and he has to push me along a little bit to get this thing to intersect. But you're going to have to give yourself in faith at some point that he's the good shepherd and that he's leading. That way when you get confused and when you get lost and you're not sure what's going on, you can hang on to the fact that he's good and that he's leading you. That keeps me from getting afraid sometimes. I don't know about you. But when we get afraid, we make really bad decisions. You ever notice that? When you get afraid, you'll make a really bad decision. And so we have to trust in the Good Shepherd to lead us so we don't get afraid and do things out of order. And then, so we move to this place where God is leading us now, and we trust Him to lead us. And then we got to move to this last phase, which is beautiful. I think this is going to shock some of you, so here we go. You're not just sheep, okay? You are sheep, but you're not just sheep. You're sons. And sons know the heart of God. And it's God's desire to operate through your heart. Now, some people will read some verses in the Old Testament. I'm going to read them to you. And some of you think that you have a heart this way. Listen to this. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked." Oh, isn't that pleasant? You ever had that message preached to you? That your heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. Who can trust that thing? Don't trust your heart. It's deceitful and it's desperately wicked. And here's what I would tell you. That verse was written by Jeremiah in the Old Testament when they were under the law and there was no Holy Spirit. You are not in that era. You live in the age of Jesus Christ, in an age of grace. And your heart is no longer deceitful and desperately wicked when you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit has come and filled your life. In fact, he says that in Hebrews. It's Hebrews 8. Look over there. I hadn't made you turn in your Bibles for a little while, so turn. Hebrews 8, 7. It says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for the second." It's talking about when Jeremiah was written, they were under the law. But Jesus came and He creates a new covenant. And listen to what it says. When Jesus comes, we receive grace and we receive the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 10, second part of that verse, "I will put my laws into their minds and I will write them on their hearts and I will be their God and they will be my people." Do you hear that? When Jesus Christ comes into your heart, at some point you've got to realize that you've received Him, that you're seeking His will, that you're getting to know His nature, that you're trusting Him as Lord and Savior. And you know what He's doing? Just what He said in Romans 12:1-2, that your mind is being renewed. You're being transformed so that you know the will of God. And you got to trust your heart. When I shared that thing with Natalie back about, how many years ago was that? 7 or so? That was in Natalie's heart. It was in Natalie's heart to work with middle schoolers. She's still doing it today. All right? God didn't ask her to do something that she didn't want to do. He asked her to follow her heart. Now, there are times where we're just missing something and God will tell us to do something and it was never on our agenda. But what He wants to do is to renew your mind, like He said in Romans 12, so that now you operate out of this flow of your heart of what He's doing. That's a child of God over there. He wants her to be so in tune with Him that she's doing what she wants to do. Some of you are afraid to do what you want to do because you think that's fleshly and carnal. I would tell you, if you've done all the work beforehand, that's probably the exact will of God for your life. And so what did God want to do? He had me confirm in her life what was in her heart. Now, is it a strain for you? Sometimes it's a strain. Do you want to give up sometimes, right? But it's what you're called to, right? Yeah. There'll be tough times, but when you're following your heart, you won't quit because you know that's what you're called to do. You know that's why God put you on this earth. And so at some point, you got to move into the New Testament, y'all. At some point, you got to move into the New Testament. And you got to believe that God is renewing your heart and your mind, and that you can begin to trust what God is wanting to do in you. One of you called me and said, "You know, Kevin, I just realized that I've been wanting God to speak in these audible ways, but I realized that as I begin to know more about God, He begins to operate through some of my own thoughts." I'm like, yeah, that's in the Bible. And we were texting, and so I text her, 1 Corinthians 2:16, and Paul says, "We have the mind of Christ." Did you know that? You have the mind of Christ in you. So a lot of times the things that you're thinking, I know the struggle, right? You're like, is that Satan? Is that me? Is that God? Anybody ever had that struggle? Huh? Oh, I done gone to preach. I done found something now. Well, yeah, we know that, right? You're trying to figure out the will of God and you go, all right, is that Satan? Is that me? Is that God? And so what do? You go back to nature. Does that sound like God? Yeah. If there's somebody that He's leading you to share the gospel with, Satan wouldn't ask you to do that. Right? Sometimes we make it harder than it is. Ask yourself, would Satan, you know, who's telling me these things? You know? And if it's something good, that's God. Okay? And then if you're like, well, is it me or is it God? Well, it might be both. What about that? Because it might be that it's God's will and you're at a place in your relationship with Him that He's renewed your mind and He's renewed your heart. And guess what? You want to do it too. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Now you're no longer slaves to sin, but you become a son of God. And you're walking in the flow of God. So I just need to tell you one more time, because I think some of you got stuck in the Old Testament. I'm about to move you into grace. For those people that said your heart was desperately wicked and deceitful and you couldn't trust it, I will tell you that the unrenewed heart is. But for many of you, you've been walking with God and He's been renewing your mind and He's been renewing your heart, and at some point you're going to have to trust that. Now let me speak real quickly, because I think I was supposed to do this. There are some of you that you grew up in church and you grew up around God, and you're at that place where you got to trust what God is doing in you, okay? You got to trust Him that He's leading your heart, and you got to trust Him that He's leading your mind. And I want to encourage you to go with those things, because those are the times when some of the most beautiful things happen. So, let me take you back. I'm going to do like the military. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you what I told you. I don't normally do that, but I am this time, okay? When you start out, your mind is at odds with God. But when you receive Jesus Christ, He comes to live inside of you. And then you begin to desire to do His will. Not only do you desire to do His will, you'll set aside your agenda. And then you desire to know Him. And as you know Him, you begin to realize that He is the Good Shepherd. And He's really smart. And He'll lead you. And He'll guide you. Even when there are times that you don't understand. And then you realize that He is renewing you, that He's renewing your heart and your mind, and you can know what the will of God is. And oftentimes, the will of God is that thing that's in your heart. So follow your heart. Some of you haven't done what you need to do because you hadn't followed your heart. So follow your heart and see where God will lead you. Let me praise team, can we sing that last song? I want to give some time. If you need to go, you can go. But I want us to play that last song, because it talks about what God is doing in our lives, and it's beautiful. I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit is making those words come alive inside of you. And it's bringing clarity to your life. In Jesus' name, He is a good shepherd. He will lead you. And He'll use your heart to guide. So just listen to these songs. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.